Moncrief on News Talk.
If you've got the money, you could buy yourself a village, sort of. The Cliff at Lyons in County Kildare was originally built for milling and mining, but nowadays is a luxury destination featuring a hotel and spa. The asking price is about 20 million. The travel writer Owen Corrie is fortunate enough to live in that neighbourhood and knows quite a bit about it. Afternoon, Owen.
Good afternoon, my old college mate, Sean. That would be about 1 week of your salary, would
that,
it be?
That would not actually be 3 days.
Three days, 20 million.
What's the difference between the village at Lyons, the cliff at Lyons, Lyons Village, or is that all the same thing?
A bit confusing because it started off as one thing. There's a beautiful hill there, a house that was built in the early 1800s with the largest lake, largest artificial lake in Ireland, we were told. I'm sure you're going to get callers from every county in Ireland saying they have a bigger one. But it was all part of the same estate until the quite recent times. The village is actually a village. It was a thriving place, as you alluded to, built in the 1820s because the canal had, it was the main artery of commerce across the country until the railways were built. So in the village of Lyons, we had a hotel, we had a boatyard, and we also had an RIC barracks built to keep an eye on the locals, which I'm proud to count myself as one. But all of that came to a halt then when the canal ceased to be really a major part of it. The population used to be about 600-700, and it went into a slight decline, which accelerated when the entire estate was sold out of the family that controlled it, the Lawless family, the Lord Cloncurry, the famous patriot, was one of them. And in the 1960s, all of those buildings just fell into decay. Tony Ryan arrived. He bought it in the 1990s for about 3 million. And he had this sort of dream. He'd restore the village, a bit like the Charles Kickham novel, Knocknagow, that he was very, very, he had great allegiance to. His listeners will remember Matt the Treasure's pub was one of the first pubs he bought. So all of that happened in the 2000s, and now it's up for sale for 20 million.
Right. Okay. And so what's it for now, and what's there now?
A wedding venue. There, you know, you can say it's a hotel, and there's two tremendous culinary ventures, very, very ambitious culinary ventures to get a good high-end restaurant going there. One of them was with Richard Corrigan in 2006, I think it was. And then Jordan Bailey, quite an achievement, 2019, took over, and he got at his first... At his first go, he got a 2 Michelin star restaurant there. But it's really, there aren't that many bedrooms. Like, some of the houses have been restored. The mill has been restored. The old barracks has been restored. Bedrooms have been put in. There aren't an awful lot of them. There's about 28. So it's really niche, very, very high end. And that made it very difficult for it to compete in a crowded space because it's very far out in the countryside. You've got the K Club 2 miles away. You've got Barberstown Castle, a really great wedding destination. And a little bit further away, you've Carton House, which is the big Canadian international company hotel group behind it. So all of that is the space in which it operates. Difficult for it to turn over. Barry O'Callaghan is the man who bought it. That's how it has the name, Cliff at Lyons, where I can tell you in the flatlands of County Kildare, we're very far away from a cliff. I think you once quoted on your show Bill Bryson saying that if you stand on a telephone directory, you're in the highest point in the county. And Neil Delamere, the comedian, had a phrase in a recent show I attended, as pale as the Ordnance Survey map of Kildare. We don't have any cliffs. But because he owned the Cliff in Ardmore and the Cliff House in Dublin, it became part of the Cliff House group.
Ah, right. And why are they selling now? Is it, as far as you understand it, is the reasons you alluded to, it can't really fulfill the whole promise?
It's very hard to know because, you know, the market is moving a little bit better for hotel sales. We are short of beds. That's come up in program after program on your station. And it could be a good time to sell because resort hotels have been iffy, Sean. You know, while the likes of the Shelburne, the big city hotels, all of that are getting tons of investment, 50 million investment going into the Shelburne at the moment. When it came to the country resort hotels, the price wasn't as good. Even when things were going well pre-pandemic, the K Club took a while to sell. The Mount Juliet took a while to sell. I mean, there's a lovely development out in Galway, the Hawthorn, which has put in loads of investment. So that's actually given a lift. But resort hotels, they take an awful lot of staff. They're harder to make money out of. People like a nice city hotel where people check in and are gone at 8 o'clock the following morning. The resort ones with the golf courses, they take a lot of maintenance. This doesn't have a golf course, but it has a smallish number of rooms. So I do think, you know, 20 million is the asking price. Barry paid 6 million for it around 2016. And I do think that somebody is reading the market saying, it'll be some entrepreneur, a sort of a lifestyle thing. But like the very big, beautiful hotels that we have around the country, Ballyfin, places like that, they're really not the place people come to make a quick few bob for themselves. It becomes a bit of a labour of love, which it was for Tony Ryan.
Yeah. No, and like, Tony Ryan didn't make any money out of it. It seemed as if
not
it was
at all.
Totally a
he
hobby.
He bought the house at a very, you know, the early 90s, nothing was moving. He spent over 100 million on the house, the village, everything. He was really just putting money into this thing because the same way as people would buy a horse or a fountain in their garden. He put 110 million into this project and he was very proud of it. And I'd the privilege of lots of conversations with him. And he was very into the fascinating history. Like one of the little footnotes of the history is that it was lost on a gambling debt. It was virtually, I lose my entire heritage. The Aylmer family arrived in 1300, made it all the way to the 1780s. And Michael Aylmer, who'd inherited it, apparently the last bet he did was the colour of the dress of the next woman to walk into the room. But he accumulated such a lot of debt that this sort of sheep farmer who became a banker, as one does, called Lawless from Wicklow, ended up loaning him the money and then saying, okay, I'll take your house. And that was the foundation of what became the Cloncurry dynasty, the Lawless family. The most famous of the Lawless family, the poetess Emily Lawless. She wrote a lot of poems that would have been taught to generations of school teachers, probably back to your grandmother's time rather than your mother's time at this stage. And with the wild geese, all of those wonderful poems. And of course, the mill was run by the Shackletons, who are cousins of the guy who set off to Antarctica and made a name for himself, but never made it to the South Pole. Very Kildare, Sean.
Right, long, deep roots there then, really. And
lots of history, tons of history.
The next and person to own it would only be the fourth person to own it. Is that right?
With family, yeah, fourth family. Obviously, there was a lot of them. The Tyrrells had it in the 1300s. Then the Aylmers. Aylmers got a very, very good job for themselves when Henry VIII decided to confiscate all the monasteries in Ireland. They had some sort of a law degree. I don't know what you got in those 1500s, but they put themselves in charge of the confiscated monasteries and by accident ended up with quite a lot of the land that had been confiscated. Fabulous wealthy, and also a bit like Napoleon's generals, Sean, very lucky. They were on the wrong side of the rebellion in the 1640s and they still got the land back, and they were the wrong side of the Battle of the Boyne. They fought with James and they still got the land back, but all of that luck ran out. And I come from County Kildare. My heart is County Kildare. I'm very Kildare, and it's a bit of an obsession down here, but it ran out when it came to putting money on the GGs. Many a Kildare family has run into problems the same way.
In terms of like the redevelopment that was done to the village, has that been completed now or might there be more room there?
There are buildings all along the canal that haven't been restored. But what he did was he took the mill, he put a new water wheel in. That took an awful lot. No, the business of putting wooden water wheels into mills was obviously very big a long time ago, but it's very hard to get it done properly now. Got everything reactivated, took over ruined buildings, absolutely ruined buildings. And he won a Heritage Restoration Award in 2001 for the work he'd done. As I said, made no financial sense, but he wasn't into the finance of it. He just... he wasn't really tremendously interested in the keeping the sort of heritage of the 1820s when it had been built by the then Lord Cloncurry, Valentine Lawless, a very great economic patriot, and also another guy who inherited the look because he was a United Irishman in the 1798 rebellion and ended up being made a Lord by the King of England about 20 years later, having successfully changed sides and persuaded everyone of his merits. But he was the one who put it together, and Tony Ryan really was interested in the idea of restoring a lost village, and he was very successful about it. He brought stone in from Italy, places like that, which some of the heritage people said was out of character. But he followed his instinct rather than got too beholden to the actual heritage of the place. And industrial heritage in Sean in Ireland isn't very well known. We've loads of ancient churches and big houses from the Georgian times, but we don't have a lot of industrial heritage stuff going on. A little bit more now. Some of the distilleries have put money into restoring the old stuff, but Tony Ryan would be quite a pioneer of that.
Mm, yeah. Now, the restaurant there, has that still got any Michelin stars?
Yeah, the Michelin star goes with the chef, and you know, while the two restaurants are going away, are very fine restaurants. Jordan Bailey has gone his way. I do think that it was probably a project that he saw as getting on to the next stage in his own career. But he did a lot locally, and he went after sourcing the food, you know, as close to the hotel as possible. A lot of chefs say they do that. A lot of chefs talk so much about sourcing food locally. But as anybody in the culinary business in Ireland says, it's pretty much the Cisco van that brings most of our food around the country. And he did great work. I asked him about the wine. What are you going to do? There aren't any vineyards in North Kildare. There weren't when I was growing up. But he did make a concession that he'd use European wine because we don't have, you know, I mean, the grapes don't thrive. Let's put it like this. The grapes don't thrive around our clock. Our hurlers thrive, but our grapes don't.
Owen, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Owen Corry there, the travel writer, historian, and proud Kildare man, talking to us there from a cliff in the middle of the county.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.